Hey, y'all, I'm going to take a second to give a quick shout out to the official mortgage lender of the Huntleaf Deep podcast. That's Casey Burns of Prime Lending Mortgage. I've known Casey for 10 years, and he's the only lender I use. I've used Casey to purchase two houses, and the process has been seamless and easy each time. He's the heart of an educator, and he truly cares about what's best for his clients. He specializes in VA loans, but can handle FHA, conventional, and investment loans as well. He's a true expert and specialist in his field, and there's no one I recommend more than Casey. You can contact Casey at casey.burns@primelending.com. Reach him by phone at 919-710-1864. You can also check out all his reviews at www.closewithcasey.com. Thanks, y'all.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Huntleaf Deep podcast. We're live again, still here at the ISE show in Denver, Colorado. I'm hosting Bobby McCready. And I'm with my guys here trying to teach me how to elk call, Tom and Thomas from Mile High Game Note. And we got Garrett here with us. We're having some fun. I'm learning my first time ever using a bugle call and trying to learn from the experts. And it's been fun to say the least, that's for sure. So how's the show been for you guys? How's everything going? And
show's been pretty good so far. It's been typical Thursday, Friday, but yeah, we've done a couple seminars and so far, so good. Looking forward to tomorrow.
We were joking. I was hiding in the back row, listening to the seminar. I had to run away from our booth to get some tips here and some notes.
Some quick tips.
Yeah, I had to get some kind of expert's opinion in here because I'm sounding like a dying cat, and our other booths are complaining. It's bad.
Something, man. It's okay.
Well, we're here now.
Yeah, we're here. And we got Garrett here, of course, with us. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad, man. Just trying to survive after a long couple work weeks.
Yeah, well, it's been, I'm sure you've been busy, so.
Kind of starting to get to a dead time of year, so.
Yeah, so I got to say, I haven't ever tried this before. I've never used a turkey diaphragm, and I'm trying to really get some sounds going because you guys are giving me little tips here, so I'm not as discouraged anymore because you guys are really helping me out, let's say.
So. We have a few. There's some sounds starting to come out of you that are starting to sound like elk.
The good news is you're sounding. There's something coming out.
Yeah, that was the hard part.
It's not quiet, right?
Well, that's the thing is, I picked this up and I immediately thought to put my tip of my tongue on this, and then I learned right away that's the worst thing that you could do, really. And that I learned right. I'm like, wow, that made a huge difference. So, one great tip right
there.
Lots
of nerves on the tip of your tongue. You don't want to vibrate the. Latex on your tongue for sure.
I guess starting from there, do you want to kind of give a quick little rundown on how to actually use some of these diaphragm calls for those others that are like Bobby that have been struggling with this a little bit?
Yeah, so the diaphragm fit is really important. So Bobby's actually using a slimline call, one of our slimline calls, because he has a kind of a girly, mouth kind of thing.
Yeah, we've learned. I bought the other ones earlier, and they were not the right size for my little mouth.
But no, actually, a lot of people, have narrow palates, so that's why we came out with the Slimline series. But you want that to tuck right up into the roof of your mouth behind your front teeth, and you keep the tip of your tongue down by your bottom teeth, and then raise the middle of your tongue up to meet that latex, and then just force a little air out. Yeah. The more pressure on the reed, the more air you throw through the reed, the higher the note is, and when I teach classes, I always want to get people to do the scale. So it's kind of like, you start out with less pressure, increase air, and try to get a scale. So you copy me, I'm going to do it, and then you.
Oh, God, I got to do this on air now? This is
so
great.
It's like, here
this
we go.
Is perfect.
This is perfect. We're saving this episode forever. This is going to go down in the record books here. All right, I'm ready. Okay.
Increase pressure, increase air, and just go up that scale.
Oh, my God. Now I'm on air, too, doing this. This is even better. Luke's standing behind me just laughing his ass off. Everybody is.
The best part is when Tom did that, I thought it was Bobby for a second, and I about shit my pants.
Bobby, a minute ago, you were sounding like that out there.
Yeah. That was just now like, the now, on. Now, now, now everybody's staring right. at me. Yeah. All right, I got to try it again. Here we
now
go.
Now it's being recorded.
Yeah. And literally everyone's behind me just watching this. I wish everybody could see this right now. Every single person is watching me do this from New Jersey, trying to learn how to do an elk call. I do this on the beach now.
Yeah, do you even have elk out there?
Oh, no. No. All right, here we go. Mm-hmm.
It sounded a little more like a turkey call.
Yeah, yeah, well, okay. Well, I have turkey season. Good. I got air moving on this one. That's where I got so far. I can't like move it yet, but if I could practice long enough, maybe we'll do a part two of this on the last day and see if I progressed at all. Maybe.
All right, buddy, but I got to tell you, that was kind of a good high note. So,
okay.
And the high note is the key to elk calling. It actually, everything that you need is in that high note. Cow calls, bugling, everything comes from that high note.
Well, that's so good to know.
So if I had, like, you know, I don't know, 6 weeks, I could really, like, if we worked at it every day,
yeah,
6 hours a day for 6 weeks, I could get you calling out.
That's
no,
awesome.
I'm just kidding. No, you're doing a good job. No, you got the high note. No, you got the high note. We could get this
you
working.
You got the high note, Bobby.
Probably
the high
in a few
note.
Minutes.
Yeah. 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 I mean.
I'm going to teach you how to cow call right now.
All right. Let's do this.
All right. All right. Hit that high note again.
That.
All right. So a cow call is you hit the high note and then just pop off the reach. So watch. I'm gonna do it first.
All right. You go ahead.
You copy me. Good.
Drop that.
Can you tell which
jaw.
One was me?
Yeah, drop the jaw.
Drop the jaw.
Drop the jaw.
Right off the reed.
Right.
There you go.
All right. All right. There's literally like 50 people standing and judging me right now. We got hecklers, everything. All right, here's our test. He's going to do it, and then I'm going to do it, or I'm going to do it, then he's going to do it, and our listeners are going to have to know which one's which. I'm going to try one more time here. All right.
We can't let him know it's me.
All right, it's bad, but it's
getting there. It's getting there.
It sounds.
That's actually a really good start. So just kind of come off the reed a little more like.
Ah, see, like you open your mouth like that.
Let
okay.
Let that reed stick in the roof of your mouth and just come off of it completely with your tongue. There you go.
There you go.
All right, I'm getting there.
Awesome.
I might
nice.
Not be calling this close. Weekend, but I'm getting sounds coming out of my mouth.
No, Bobby, there's a competition tomorrow.
Oh,
we already put your name on the list. So.
Someone's going to randomly put my name in there.
We already did.
Oh, great. This is going to be good.
Have
this
no fear. We have your back. But
I don't think anyone has my back.
No, but in all great. Seriousness, Bobby, like we've done a lot of calling classes. We've taught a lot of people how to elk call.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes people weeks to make a noise.
Okay.
So absolutely.
I'm 4 hours
really
into
good,
this.
Actually.
I'm 4 hours in on
and
my
not
first
even four
ever.
Hours because we just talked a minute ago before getting on the podcast, and you had it in your mouth wrong, and you're using the wrong part of your tongue.
Yeah.
I told you in a matter of a minute, and you replaced it in your mouth, you put different tongue pressure on it, and boom, you're making noise.
I'm making noise.
So,
all right.
Honestly, you're doing pretty
damn
good.
I'm feeling a little better.
The last 30 minutes
have been
huge.
All these guys heckling you out here, I haven't heard them do it.
Yeah,
so,
I have, that is true, actually. I haven't heard a single noise come out of anyone's mouth, except that kid that walked by that didn't even have one in his mouth. I was like, great.
He's a good voice caller.
That was amazing.
He's a future Mile High Note game caller.
See, this just is more proof that you guys are great teachers. So, you know, I worked with you for 4 minutes, and I'm making a sound.
Yep. We're getting you there.
Yeah, we're getting a lot closer. Well, I'm learning tips here and there, and I think I'm picking it up a little bit. What would you say, like, the first tip of getting to make that sound would be? Like, just what would you work on first, holding in your mouth and just getting a sound?
I think, like, you were struggling to get a sound when you first came up after buying it like a few hours ago.
Right.
And then you came up to me and I showed you where I was placing it in my mouth.
Yep.
And like I said, the front of the call looks like a horseshoe, right? The call looks like a horseshoe, if the audience can imagine a horseshoe. And everybody thinks you put the horseshoe facing your teeth, right? Like that. It looks like you took a bite out of it. So a lot of people put the call in backwards, believe it or not.
Okay.
So put the horseshoe out. So there's a flat part of the call. Not the circle, the flat part goes toward the front of your mouth. So the front of your mouth is where that front goes. And like I told you, you take your canines and you line up the front of that call with your canines. So like I showed you, it goes right in line with your canines. Pretty far back. A lot of people think you put it right at the front and you just push with the tip of your tongue.
That's where two big mistakes I was making.
That's
right there.
That's a big mistake. Yep. So you want to use right where the flat part of the call is, right in line with your canines. And some people, like my dad said earlier, you push the tip of your tongue on the bottom row of your teeth. For me, that doesn't work personally.
Okay.
I flatten my tongue and just use the pressure of the like medius part of my tongue. Like I told you guys earlier, if you look at your thumb, there's the first joint in your thumb. that first joint, if you were to put that on the tip of your tongue, I know it's hard to imagine this on a podcast, but the tip of your tongue, if you put that right on your right where the joint is, and you measure that back, it's about a thumb's, I guess, length. That first joint is where you want the pressure to be on that call where the latex meets.
Right.
And for me, that's what works the best. And as soon as I told you that, boom, you're making that.
I was making
note.
Some sounds, yeah.
So, wait. Don't, stop sucking your thumb. I mean, he didn't want your thumb in your mouth.
I thought that was the step two. I thought that was the next move. I was ready here for that.
So that's. But, yeah, as far as like quick tip, initial, making that noise. If you're not making a noise right away, don't give up on it. You know, we sell these calls at all these shows we go to, and we've been doing it forever. Since my dad's been doing it for 35 years. I've been doing it, but I could bugle before I could walk with my voice. So, you know, we've been doing it a long time. We make it sound super easy. You walk by the booth, like, man, I'm going to buy that call. I'm going to sound just like that.
Nope.
It does take practice. But that's the thing. You know, a lot of guys who go hunting in September for elk here in Colorado or any state for that matter, they pick up the call weekend before and they're like, all right, I'm going to practice, time to get ready for this hunt. No, it's a commitment.
That's
like, if you want to make good elk sounds without using like a squeeze call hoochie mama that sounds like everybody in the woods,
yeah,
you know, you need to take the time and practice. We're in January right now. You're 9 months away from your season. Time to start practicing.
It is a great time. And you know, I do a lot of the elk calling classes throughout the year, and you know, I get maybe 5 to 10 classes a month, you know, March, April, May, June. And then all of a sudden July comes and I get 25 classes in July. And then all of a sudden August comes. And there was a point in time where every night of the week in August, I was getting off of work and coming home and had people at my houses going through classes. And then it's time for us to go to our hunt. I don't have anything packed. I don't have anything prepared. So I finally had to start saying, okay, after August 15th, I'm not doing any classes.
Yeah.
And the tough thing is a lot of people come to my classes, you know, a week before elk season, and they think they're going to just pop this reed in their mouth and call elk in.
I'm telling everybody right now. Yeah, it's not that easy.
Yeah, it does. So,
I keep like two or three diaphragms in my truck all the time, just because it's something you can do. I drive 30, 40 minutes one way for work every day. So sitting in my truck, I can annoy the shit out of myself with cow calls, bugles, whatever. Yep.
It saves many marriages, too.
I mean, seriously. So this is the key that I need right now.
You practice in the truck instead of the house,
man. He's practicing in the truck. Yeah. Oh. The call doesn't save the
marriage.
Don't
go home to my wife with this call. That's what you're saying. So, I mean, I feel like I'm annoying. Paint the scenario right now is there is a million booths in this row, and everyone was staring at me on how bad I sounded. And I don't care. I'm not discouraged, but I'm sure I am annoying them. So if they're listening ever, I'm sorry, okay?
Let me tell you one thing. Bugling at your wife is not going to get you laid for the night. So I wouldn't suggest trying.
Doesn't work
that.
The same.
Huh.
I've tried it once or twice, and taking the old lady out with me in a September archery hunt.
It doesn't work.
I don't think I impressed her very much. So
I'm gonna have to note that one down forever. I don't think my call's impressing anybody or anything at this point.
You know, we said it did impress us, and you were the ones teaching you how to do it. So
honestly, makes me happy.
You are doing better.
The ones that see the improvement are the ones that are impressed.
Yep. That's all that matters. Well, you fuckers that are making fun of me over here.
that's me, Bobby.
Yeah, just no. There's a lot of them. You know, I just want, like you said before, though, I don't hear them making any noise, and this is not as easy as I would have picked up. Like, I've never even thought of hunting. Like, well, obviously I want to hunt elk. Never thought of calling elk. And when I grabbed your bugle tube, I was like, holy shit, I can't do this. I was like, wow, this is a lot harder than I thought. But now I'm feeling really confident because I am making sounds. I might not sound perfect, but little by little I'll practice. I'm going to be messaging you guys, watching your YouTube videos and everything, learning from your seminars here.
You got to come back over and get my CD.
I got it. Yeah. Trust me. I'm loaded up to learn now. Yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready to learn, which
is
awesome.
I was going to touch on there's a lot of out-of-state guys or even in-state guys. You know, like you just said, you don't know when you're going to come out to elk hunt. But when you do, being out of state, it's a commitment with that price of the tag, travel to get here, getting the meat back if you are successful. So, you know, you buy all this hunting gear, whether it's clothing, that's thousands of dollars. You buy a bow, thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
You buy an elk call, it's $50 for diaphragms and a tube, right? Yeah. And that's what's going to bring the animal to you. So why wouldn't you learn how to use it for when you do commit to come out here?
That is the best tip probably anybody can get. Like, and it's so true.
You want to be a Swiss Army knife. Calling may not be the only, like, you know, there's many ways to hunt an elk, but calling is definitely an incredibly effective way come September.
Yeah, they don't come in with just, hey, elk, That's not how it's working here. So.
And spot and stalking elk is definitely difficult. Yeah. A lot of people do it unsuccessfully and some successfully, but the end of the day, I'd rather the elk come to me than me going after it. So, you know, learning how to call is definitely on the right track.
There's nothing more exciting than a bugle fest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It is wild.
You know, a great day in the field, archery hunting, doesn't necessarily have to end with an elk on the ground.
No.
Right. I mean, some of the best things that I've ever experienced in the elk field is just monster bulls coming in, snot coming out of their nose, bugling at me. And, you know, I go back to camp and go, you know, I just didn't get my bow back. I didn't have the right shot opportunity. But when that bull bugled and it went right through me, I felt it in my soul.
Just shakes your bones.
That's a successful day in the woods, man.
I mean, I believe it. You know, being from so far east here in New Jersey, I always wanted to see an elk one and hear an elk. And, like, those are my two biggest passions. Now I'm here in Colorado today, and I hear you guys bugling out there. And it just every time I hear it, it just puts a big grin on my face because it's something that, you know, I've never heard, never seen or anything like that. And it's just so cool to me how you can make these noises and sound so realistic. I mean, my alarm clock is an elk, and I'm from New Jersey. I'm like, this is – and my wife thinks I'm crazy, but I'm like, it's just my passion is to hear that in the wild one day. And that's that's really cool that you guys can make this sound replicated so easy.
Well, you need to get your ass out here already for an over-the-counter hunt or something.
This is my first time here, and I'm telling you, I love it out here. So it's actually colder in New Jersey than it is in Denver right now.
Don't you dare move here, but you're welcome to come hunt here.
You heard it here first, guys. You heard it here first.
So let's move away from the elk, fellas. One of you guys shot a nice deer this year that I think we need to have a little chat about. Holding to our theme with you guys of good hunting stories and pretty major units here in Colorado.
Yeah.
So, Thomas, why don't we go over your deer from past November?
Yeah, so this November, I mean, obviously I owe thanks to my dad first and foremost for putting me in Colorado. You have to build points. A unit that takes more points to draw is supposed to be a better unit for a quote trophy animal. So, you know, in Colorado you can start putting in when you're 12 years old. And my dad started putting me in when I was 12 years old. And, you know, so I got to thank him for that. Without that, I would have never been able to draw this tag because now with point creep, everything going on in Colorado, it takes forever to draw a primitive unit.
How many points did that unit cost you this year?
So that cost me 21 points.
Okay. So 21 years of applying for that.
Yeah.
So every year since I was 12 years old, you can do the math, figure out how old I am there. There you go. But and surprisingly, not really surprisingly because a lot of, you know, dads weren't, you know, a lot of people don't have dads like I did that started putting me in when I was 12 because it cost a lot of money back then to do it. It was more than $7 now. He had to pay the full price of the tag for everything. So he was dumping thousands of dollars in for me and my sister every year. Wow. He'd get the money back if he didn't draw. But so, you know, he was putting me in every year. And then it got to the point where point creep just kept going. We were just always out of reach of drawing that tag because every year would just go up more and more and more.
Right.
And so finally we were able to get to that point where I was like, okay, I got enough points to draw this unit, Dad. I know we were talking about a different unit, but I think this is the one I want to draw. And so I decided to pull the trigger this year. It was pretty nerve-wracking, not going to lie. I know we talked about some of the stories earlier. I drew the moose tag in 21. He drew the sheep tag in 21. And I was more nervous about this deer hunt than I was about the moose, actually.
Wow, really?
Which was pretty wild just because with the moose, I mean, if you guys listened to the podcast that we did before about the moose, I drew in 2020. I was able to scout 30 days in 2020 for the moose, and then the fires came in Colorado, had to turn the tag in, was able to scout another 30 days. So I was able to put 60 days in scouting at least to hunt that moose. So I was pretty confident about that moose I was going to get.
Yeah.
And I had one that I wanted to target, got it, successful, great. This deer hunt, if anybody knows anything about mule deer hunting in November, you can't scout for that. I mean, I went up in August. I went up in one weekend of September. I went up in November, and it didn't matter what deer I saw. I got excited about deer I saw, but it really did not mean I was going to be able to find that deer again come rut because they're just going to go where they want to find the does. So I was more so just learning the area. But long story short, I was able to draw the tag, scouted, like I said, learned the area, learned the roads, learned some high points for glassing. I was able to figure out, okay, this is a good spot to glass from. I'm seeing deer in August. I'm seeing deer in November. I went up. The season started here in Colorado. Fourth rifle starts the day before Thanksgiving. So I was trying to recruit people, right, to come up and help with this hunt, once-in-a-lifetime hunt. It was quite the, I guess, asking, if you will, to ask people to leave their family for Thanksgiving. So I didn't really ask anybody. I just told them, hey, if you want to come with me, it'd be cool. And, of course, everybody in my circle was extremely excited to go on this hunt with me, my dad included. My buddy Stefan was able to come up with me Saturday before the season started. We got camp set up, wood cut. We're doing the Davis wall tent. So we got camp ready. And that night, just from the get-go, from camp, after running the chainsaw, everything, we glassed up 40 deer from camp.
Whew.
So we were in the right spot.
Yeah, awesome. You were there.
So
a lot of deer in the area.
There was a lot of deer in the area. I guess that's what you wait 21 years for in Colorado.
Wow.
And we were able to scout Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So 3 days, full days, and we saw over 100 deer a day. Just
wow.
Incredible. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And we saw over 80 bucks in those 3 days, anywhere from a fork horn all the way up to, you know, 190 plus inches. And CJ, my buddy CJ, he and my dad came up Tuesday night, and we were in reaching each other, and we were able to, he told me they found a buck that had trash. And I was like, well, we haven't seen a buck that had trash yet. Just straight typicals, mainly what we saw. And so Stefan and I, we hauled ass, tried to get back down the mountain to get back to where they were by dark. And
wait, let me jump in here.
Okay.
So I'm riding on the back of the four-wheeler. CJ's got just the ATV, straight ATV. So I'm sitting on the back trying to hang on for dear life, and he's a maniac driver, dude. I mean,
dude,
he drives like 100 miles an hour everywhere he goes.
Shit.
And deer are running all over the place. I'm like, oh, my God, this is, like, unbelievable. You know, I'm not seeing giant bucks, but, I mean, there's just deer everywhere. So we get into this one spot. We come around the corner, and there's a truck pulled off the side of the road, and these guys are glassing, you know. So we pulled off there.
Yeah.
And the first thing that happens, man, the guys come running over with beers in each hand. I mean, I'm like, they didn't even know us.
Can't even
like,
write that up.
Here, you guys, you want a beer? We're, you know, we're looking for elk. Have you guys seen any elk? And we were like, no. And we go, we're just scouting for deer. And he goes, well, we're watching a big one, you know. So, well, okay, well, we'll take a beer, you know. So we're sitting there, we're off the side of the road on the 8 feet drinking a beer. You know, I'm looking and, holy crap, that is a big deer, you know. So we start glassing this deer up. And, man, it's got trash and everything. And, you know, pretty soon the deer is going in and out. I mean, the country up there is just unbelievable. Like buck brush, you know. I mean, they're there 1 second, gone the next. Then they're over here. Then, you know, they're chasing does. And we just couldn't get any video. And then, you know, we were trying to get a hold of him to get him over there. But by the time they finally did get in touch with Thomas on the inReach, and they got over there, the deer was gone. We couldn't see him anymore. So that's when we decided the next morning we were going to, you know, hunt that area and try to find that deer.
Yeah.
I'll let Thomas finish that.
Yeah.
It's his hunt.
Yeah, we were, like I said, Steph and I were a long ways away. We had to winch with two-seater razor, and we had to winch our way all the way up the mountain to get to where I wanted to go.
Wait a minute, I got to interject again. Because I'm half owner of the two-seater razor, and I'm riding on the back of the ATV. Just so everybody knows.
Oh, man.
Okay?
However, you
right,
were not there to
I wasn't.
Scout
That's
with
true.
Us. So.
That's true.
That is worrying.
So anyway, we were pretty far away. We made our way back down right at dark. They said the deer disappeared. I hadn't seen anything. I wanted to pull the trigger on opening morning and the 3 days of scouting. Like I said, any other unit in Colorado, maybe not any other unit, but most units in Colorado, you see a 160 buck, 170 buck, 180 buck,
oh,
190
it's going
buck.
Down
it's
like,
going down.
Yeah.
Split second.
It's going down like a clown.
But this tag, in particular, I knew I did not want to pull the trigger. You know, my expectations the first 2 to 3 days was 190 up, maybe 200 up, you know, dream of 200. So we never saw anything with trash, like I said. So I decided I wanted to go back there in the morning, see if I can get a good look at this deer. They both told me it's the biggest deer they've ever seen in their life.
Ooh.
And so I was like, well, it must mean something. You know, they've seen some deer. So we get there, and we actually found the buck pretty much right off the bat. Sun started coming up, glassed it up. It was in and out of the oak brush, and I didn't get a great look at it. It was probably 700, 800 yards away. And I just didn't get a good enough look that I wanted to say that's the deer I want to shoot.
Yeah.
And so we kind of split up a little bit on this ridge and started doing some glassing. And my buddy Stefan and I, we decided to go down to where we last saw the deer and try to get in closer. So I brought my gun. And even then I was like, I'm not going to shoot, Stefan. Like, I want to get a good look at this deer. We crested the hill and the deer was 200 yards away. And I was like, oh, shit. All right. So got the spotting scope up real quick, got a quick glance, and then he went into the cypress trees. I was like, oh, God damn, he's gone again. And so we sat there for a while. Next thing you know, the sun starts cresting the hill, and it is literally directly right in front of Stefan and I, and I cannot glass worth a shit. I can't see anything just because the sun is right there.
So did anybody say that it was cold yet? Because it was
fucking cold.
It was fucking cold.
The day that you guys are doing this, I spent my whole day digging my truck out. So
it was in the snow off Colorado drive, November 23rd.
I was pretty much freezing my ass off.
It was November 23rd, and it was pretty cold. So at this point, I told Stefan, "You stay here. I'm gonna go back to the razor." And go, because CJ at this point said he saw him like 400 yards away. That tells you how much these deer are moving. Ooh, I mean, 400 quick. Yards, they're chasing does. So I get back to CJ, can't see the buck again. And so we go up a little further. He said it was heading up the mountain. So we go up, can't see it. CJ radios again. He's like, I see the buck now. Drive back down to CJ. Buck's gone. So my dad and I, we decided to go up where we could get a little bit higher ground. So don't worry, he got to sit in the razor.
Finally, I got to sit in the razor, man.
He's excited. All excited.
Yeah,
now.
Baby.
So he sits in the razor. We drive up to this higher point where we can glass and see down in stuff a little better. And we're seeing deer. I mean, like I said, we were glassing one hillside that was probably like a 800-yard hillside, and we saw 50 deer. Ooh. It was just insane. We saw like nine different bucks, and we did. We started seeing deer. I think we saw them from about 2,000 yards away. It was hard to tell if it was him. And then Stefan in-reached me again, said, hey, I see him. Shit. All right. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to go down there and sit in one spot. He's bound to walk by.
Yeah.
So we drive back down, get over by CJ. I walk 80 yards from the razor where my rifle was, and I look up this ravine, and there's a buck standing there. And I was like, I don't think that's the same buck that we saw this morning, because he was wide. He was way outside his ears, and it just didn't look like the same buck. So I put my binos up. Man, that's a good deer. Put my binos down. I sit down and get a little steadier. That's a really good deer. And I don't have my gun. I don't have anything. Oh, and man. So I don't have my spotting scope.
I was at the razor.
He was at the razor.
And I was looking at – first, I was looking at a forkhorn that had come out into this little opening, and he was super nervous. There was a doe there, too, and he kept looking back, and then he would look one way and look. He was really worried about something that was behind him. And I kept thinking, man, there's got to be something back there, you know. Yeah. So I was steadying my binoculars on the razor, just kind of looking through there. And then pretty soon that 2x2 moved, and that big boy came into my view. And I was like, CJ, get a hold of Thomas. You got to get him back here right now. I'm like, looking at this deer.
I saw it the whole time.
And he was hauling, running back towards the
razor. I wasn't even running.
No, you weren't. Actually.
I just don't lie. I wasn't running.
Yeah, you
I literally I walked back. I was like, if I run, he'll probably run. So yeah. I was like, I'm just going to walk back to the razor. So I just walked back.
I was freaking out. I was like, we got to get him back here, man.
I didn't even know if I wanted to shoot this buck at this point.
Know.
I was like, it was the first day. It seemed too good to be true. I wasn't sure. Like, I haven't seen a ton of deer in my lifetime. Obviously, I've been putting it for 21 years. So I'm not an avid deer hunter.
Yeah,
you know, I won now because I finally burnt my points and I want to hunt deer every single year. But at this point, I'm just walking back. I see him. He sees me. For whatever reason, he did not run for 10 minutes. Stood like a statue. Ooh. Just still in the oak brush 10 minutes. I don't know if he didn't think we could see him or what. But I get back to the four-wheeler, get the spotting scope on him. Still hemming and hawing. Finally, he turns. I can see he's got some trash on him, too. He's way outside his ears. I'm like, boys, I think I need to shoot this deer. And they're over here like thinking I'm freaking crazy. Like, yeah. This is the biggest deer
you haven't decided
life.
About plus already?
Both arms, plus, both of my arms right now are like ready to fall off. They're aching. And I don't dare take the binoculars off of them because I'm telling you, man, you take the binoculars off of them, they can disappear in 2 seconds.
You won't find them again.
And you won't find them again. And I'm like, I'm staying on this thing, man. And I'm just like, God, shoot the goddamn thing. And I mean, it's like the biggest deer I've ever seen in my life.
I just kept thinking I wanted to see that first deer we were looking for.
Right. I would have liked to.
And
seen
I kept
him,
asking them, I was like, is it the same deer? Is the same
it
deer.
Wasn't.
And CJ's just telling me yes just so I would shoot it. Like, oh, it's the same
it
deer.
Wasn't.
Same deer. And I'm like, okay. Finally, I'm like, all right, boys, I need to shoot that deer. So I at this point, I don't even have my rifle out of the case.
Yeah.
So I walk over, man. Get my rifle out of the case, come over, I get my bipod set up, and...
And we're talking this deer is in, like, I don't know, the clearing, it's not really a
maybe
clearing.
20 yards.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 20 yards. If that deer walks...
It's that's it. Your shot's done.
Five steps, yeah. it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, he gets his gun out and everything, and he's getting, you know, it all ready to go and everything. And I'm watching the deer, and pretty soon the deer, like, turns its head, and it's, like, biting one side of it, and then it turns its head the other
started
way.
Started getting
gives him, like, really good looks. Like, it turns right, then turns left, so you can see the kicker sticking out my both
he's
sides.
Modeling for
but
you.
I'm thinking, it's going to walk any second, you know.
Yeah.
And then he finally is like, I'm going to shoot that deer.
So finally, yeah, I told him, all right, boys, I'm going to shoot this deer. And poor Stefan had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
He's still sitting down there glassing for deer. And all of a sudden,
boom.
He hears me shoot. I shoot. Deer just whack, drops. It was 370 yards.
Yes.
Just dropped him in his tracks.
Hell, yeah.
And I still, at that point, it just seemed too good to be true opening day. And there was no ground shrinkage. The deer,
it grew.
I mean, it's a big
grew,
deer.
Man.
Hell yeah.
It's a big deer. I mean, everybody dreams of shooting a 200-inch mule deer. And we just kept walking up. And once I finally saw it, it was probably only 50 yards from the deer when I finally saw where it went down. This was a little deceiving from 370 yards, how many little
the
hills there were.
Like knee deep,
the snow was
man.
Probably knee deep. And,
yeah.
And finally get up to the deer. And man, it did not disappoint. And, you know, it was truly a once in a lifetime hunt. I'll never draw that unit again. Like I said, it took me 21 years to draw for fourth rifle, and it did.
And that's area 2,637 in Colorado.
Yeah,
that's
that,
the unit.
That's a unit we won't discuss. It's already too hard to get it.
So hopefully,
yeah, 'cause I have 21 points, and I plan on going there next year.
Yeah. So hopefully we can repeat this next year.
I expect to see a bigger deer out of you.
Yeah,
exactly.
That one that he has the video of, if that one survived this year, that's going to be a hell of a deer next year.
I'm
going
to definitely have to hold on to his bullets and not let him shoot until I say that's the one.
Going to have to go Africa style and you carry his gun for him.
Yep. He's going to get it with his within the hour or something. He's like, yeah, I got yours, mine quicker.
That's 160. Cool.
Hey, there's a fork and horn.
Yeah, exactly. He probably would, unfortunately. So, yeah, I'll let him shoot my rifle, and I'll just keep the magazine out of the rifle. And that way he can't shoot it. And then I'll let him know when. But, yeah, it was a hunt in a lifetime.
What was the total – or what was the score of the deer?
It ended up going 211 and 3/8.
Cool.
So he's a beautiful buck. Just the cool thing about him, he was just typical frame. He only had one kicker on each side, and the kicker's in the same exact spot. He's got 4-inch brow tines on each side. Just the picture perfect mule deer you would expect. You know, 4x4 frame, brow tines, matching kickers, everything just mass all the way throughout it. He had 38 inches of mass total.
Just nice and wide.
Yeah, he was 28 inside, 32 outside. Just beautiful, picture-perfect deer you can imagine.
So Carter's going to be really upset he missed this one because he loves mule deer. So
he's
his
like
passion.
Our mule deer.
Yeah, he's going to be listening to this one and be like, son of a bitch, I needed to get on that episode. Yeah,
I guess we won't talk about the celebration that night after.
No.
After the deer got pretty ugly. So.
Oh, boy.
There's some celebrating to be had.
Yeah.
A little bit of a rough cleanup on Thanksgiving morning.
It was.
Yeah,
it was
pretty
rough
getting these guys going and
Yeah, that's all we're going to say.
That's all
we're going
to say about that.
We won't pry too much on that one.
As Forrest Gump would say, well, I guess I'll go home now.
That's great.
Yeah, it was an epic year. And I can't wait to do it again next year with him. So, and then hopefully the year after with my dad.
The last few years.
Or with my sister.
Really, yeah.
So,
I love talking to you guys with your successful hunts because I'm always smiling ear to ear on these because I just like try to put myself in your position and when you're telling these stories and like every detail and it just cracks me up and it's just awesome to hear. And I'm so glad you guys are so successful too because,
thank you.
We'll constantly be talking about this, that's for sure.
I'll have to tag along in Sherpa for you guys next year.
it's definitely epic. I mean, that unit is nothing like I've ever seen before. And
it's tough to draw that 2,364 unit in Colorado. Yeah. I'm telling you.
It is. It's definitely made a deer hunter.
Multiply that by 5,000, and that's the amount of applicants put it in for it. So.
So like I said, it's a once-in-a-lifetime draw type of situation, and unless I draw again when I'm 70 or something, you know, ridiculous. But at this point, it's a unit that I just want to go up and cruise around and just look at deer. And I can't wait to get back on the mountain next year and hunt deer.
Yeah, we can't either because we want to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully next year we can have some elk stories or something. This year elk didn't really pan
maybe
out
even
for
a moose
us.
Story.
But
who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, moose, sheep, goat, you know, you
I
never
still
know.
Got a chance for a moose.
There
maybe
you go.
Caribou. It might
be
happen
yeah,
sometime
gotta
soon.
Caribou.
That's got to come up soon.
It has to be soon.
We were going
to
do caribou this year, but then I decided to get married. So now we're having a wedding.
What a mistake.
It's a destination wedding, though.
You didn't use your elk call, right?
Where to Estes Park?
No, Walden, Colorado.
There you go.
Well, that's awesome. I'm so glad you guys took the time to come talk to us about this again. And especially happy that you guys were able to give me some pointers here. So hopefully by the next episode, I can bugle again and actually sound like something.
We'll do a recap on Sunday.
Yeah, great. No pressure
good.
Or nothing.
Yeah.
I got two days.
Yeah. You got 48 hours to start practicing.
Great. Thanks, guys. No pressure at all, listeners. But,
I have faith. I have faith in you.
Guys, where can folks find you on Instagram, social media? Where can we find you for following with these great hunts and your products?
Pretty much everything Mile High Note Game Calls, you know, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, everything's Mile High Note Game Calls. Yeah.
Yep. Best tips around. Definitely check them out, listeners. And hopefully on Sunday, I'll do, even if they're not here or what's going on, I'll do a quick little recap and add it to the end of this episode. we'll see. We'll get the judge call on this one and see how if I improved in 48 hours here. Well, I appreciate you guys jumping on, taking the time. And as always, you know, it's great to talk to you again about the
year. It's great to be on. Yep. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
we appreciate
guys.
It. Thanks, listeners.